Amen. You'll turn with your Bibles in the New Testament to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. Read the story of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, and then we will turn to chapter 18, reading verses 41 through 46. Hear now the word of our God. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And then in chapter 18, verse 41, And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. In the New Testament, if you'll turn with me to our text, which is found in the Epistle of James, chapter 5. We're considering this morning verses 13 through 18. James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And again he prayed, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray and ask for the Lord's blessing on his word preached. Father in heaven, we do come before you this morning, and we thank you that you do give to us, to your beloveds, even sleep, that you provide for us all things necessary for life and for godliness, that you're in your providence, you provide more than we will ever even imagine or comprehend. And so, Lord, we do thank you that you do take care of your children, and we pray that you would do so this morning, that you would feed us the bread of life, even your word, that you would grant unto us ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church, that you would grant unto us faith that we may truly take and believe and trust and obey that which you have commanded and called and communicated to us through your servant James. And now we pray that you would speak to us as well through these words, this inspired word of God. We do pray, O Lord, that you would have your way with us, and that you would speak, and we, your servants, would listen, answer, and do. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called as those that are redeemed by Christ to render thanks or our gratitude to God. Now, there are different ways that we can do that, but if you were to categorize and to say and to answer the question, what is the most important way, or what is the primary way, what is the best way that we can render thanks unto God for what He's done for us, what would you say? What's the best way to say thank you? Is it writing a card, sending a card or a letter, email? Is it by doing good works? Well, our catechism answers it this way. The chief means of thankfulness to God is, anybody? Prayer. Now, why would the catechism, why would the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism say something like that? What's behind that? Why would they say that prayer is the chief way that we can express thankfulness to God? What's so important about prayer? What is it that makes it so special? Well, I would have to answer that what makes it so special is the person to whom we are talking to when we pray. Just like heaven is only heaven because of the person who's there, so it is that the blessings, the greatest blessing of prayer is the person to whom we are speaking, God Himself. The Creator of heaven and earth, the Provider of all things, and the Redeemer and Savior. And Lord. And so prayer is a primary way of expressing thankfulness to God. It's being able to say directly to the giver, thank you. And it is also one of the benefits of the gift of grace in that we can communicate with Him. Paul writes in Romans, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so because peace has been established, the peacemaker has accomplished His work, we are at peace with God, we can commune with Him and He with us. The amazing thing is He delights for us to do so. He asks us, no, He commands us to seek His face, to ask, to seek, to knock. This is not just a suggestion, it is a command of Christ. And Jesus taught us how to pray. In case we wanted to say, well, I don't know how to do it, He says, well, let me answer that question. So He's given us how to. He's motivated us. Why? Prayer is our high calling. It is our badge. It is a privilege and a gift of God that we can approach the Holy God and commune with Him as His holy people. And so testings come into our lives. And one of the purposes of those testings, those trials, is to direct our eyes. Where are you going to turn? Where is your focus going to be when you are diagnosed with cancer? What is your reaction going to be when you lose a loved one? When you lose your job? When you're robbed? What is your reaction going to be? Where is your eyes going to turn? Is your eyes going to focus on the perpetrator of the crime? Are your eyes going to turn upon yourself? Are your eyes going to turn to other people? Or are your eyes going to turn to God? Many times we have trials and testings in our lives because we're not focusing our eyes in the right place. God calls us to respond to the testings of our lives by turning to Him in prayer. Christ has provided this privilege at great personal cost, and He expects us to faithfully exercise this great privilege for the benefit of all mankind, and I would add, to the glory of God. So our responses, first point, to the tests of life. Again, I ask, where are your eyes? Where is your focus? Remember the context that James has been focusing on. His message from the very beginning, he is now returning to in the end. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or multi-hued testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patient endurance. And now he comes to the end of his letter and is focusing on how we are to respond to some of these testings. Remember also that James has been concerned, very much concerned, about the use of the tongue, how we use our voice, how we use our tongue, how we speak, what we do with our tongue. And so again, he brings a positive exhortation. What is the proper use of the tongue? Well, one of those is in prayer to God. Notice in the context of chapter 5, in verses 7 through 11 last week, the focus was that of patient enduring of hardship or of trials. In verses 7 through 11, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." And again he says, "The husbandman waits or is patient and has long patience. Be ye also patient." And verse 10 again, of the patience of the Lord and of the patience of the prophets and then the patience of Job, he's driving at a point we're called to wait, expectantly endure in patience the Lord in the midst of our hardship. In other words, he calls us to be strong in faith. But now he goes on to say, well, not only are we to be strong in faith, but when we are afflicted, verse 13, we are called to pray. If any among you is afflicted, let him pray. If any merry, cheerful, let him sing psalms. If any of you are weak or sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. And so God gives us a call, and our response is to pray, to sing psalms, sing hymns of praise, and also to seek help from others. And so our calling for prayer is a calling and a gift of God. God provides for our needs in this portion of His Word. So let's stop and let's think about that. Second point, God's provision. Now, in order for it to be true prayer, we need to have access, right? Without access to God, prayer is basically speaking to the ceiling. Without proper admittance into the throne room of the king, all we're doing is talking to a wall. But through Jesus Christ and the abiding work of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to go to God and say what? Abba, Father. And we know that He hears us. We can speak to God in those very familiar terms, yet He is also the high and exalted one, but yet we can refer to Him as our Father who art in heaven. And so access to God is assumed by James in his letter. It's through Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection, that we can actually go to God and to pray, and our prayers are acceptable. John Calvin said in one of his commentaries in the Psalms, "In the Old Testament, no prayers were acceptable to God, but those which were joined with sacrifice, that they might always turn their minds to the mediator." So Calvin understands that the Old Testament saints, when they prayed through a sacrifice. It was, they knew that I cannot come to God without someone dying. Because the wages of sin is death. Someone has to die. And so this animal dies in my place so that I can pray and be heard. Pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who would be slain for the sins of His people. Again, John Calvin says concerning Christ's intercession, the value of his sacrifice is always powerful and efficacious, effective. The blood is a continued intercession for us. We have the heart of the Heavenly Father as soon as we have placed before Him the name of His Son. I like that. We have the heart of our Heavenly Father as soon as we place before Him the name of His Son. This is why to be told that you cannot pray in the name of Jesus is to say that prayer is ineffective. It is through the name of Christ, it is through the person and intercessory work of Jesus Christ that our prayers are heard before God. And so access to God through Christ is assumed by James in his exhortation to us. So what should the content of our prayers be? How should we form our prayers? How do you pray when you pray? Do you pray what you've been taught to pray? The Lord's Prayer? Yeah, that's a prayer. It's also a form or a model. Well, what are you doing when you're praying the Lord's Prayer? Well, I'm praying part of the Word of God, ain't I? Is that the only part of the Word of God that we can pray? No. The rest of the Bible is also ammunition, content. William Grinnell stated it this way, prayer is nothing but the promise reversed. Prayer is nothing but the promise reversed. Or God's word formed into an argument, a retort, and retorted by faith upon God again. In other words, he says prayer is nothing more than taking God's word and bringing him back to God. Say, God, you said this, do it. You promised this, do it. I believe what you say is true, do it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is your will, do it. It is a promise reversed, brought back, presented to God. If you need help in this area, I would recommend Matthew Henry's book, A Method of Prayer, where all it is scripture. He takes different portions of Scripture and organizes it by topic and prays Scripture back to God. If you need that help, there's a tool. There's other books like that. And so what is the content of a prayer that God hears? Well, God hears His Word, His promise. What is also needed? Faith. Trusting in God that He will do what He promises. And in particular, he has here in focus, if you notice in James, is not only affliction and prayer, but also notice in verse 14, if any is sick among you or weak among you, let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another. Notice that James connects prayer and confession. And he also connects the involvement of the elders. Others in the time of weakness. And so the content is not only faith, but also confession of sin. What's interesting is that James connects confession of sin or sin with sickness. And we're very, very careful in this area because many times people misuse the concept that sickness is related to sin or the reason why you're sick is because of unconfessed sin. That's what Job's friends tried to prove to Job, didn't they? You must have sinned in some way, Job, as otherwise it never would have happened to you like this. You need to repent of something. I don't know what, but you need to repent of something. And yet God said that they were miserable counselors. But at the same point in time, James says that there is a connection, isn't there? How did death enter the world? Through sin. Adam's sin. There is a connection between death and sin. And so we don't overreact when we look at the friends of Job and say, well, then there's no sickness ever attached or caused by sin. No, we have to listen to James, who says, if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And so there is also a call for a confession of sins and the promise of the forgiveness of God. Notice also the provision of God is that God provides others, assistance. If any sick among you, verse 14, let him call for the elders of the church. How often have you done that? In this congregation, how often, when you are sick, have you called for the elders of the church? I know that has not been very often because I haven't received very many calls when you are sick. Sometimes I find out about the sickness after the person is well. Oh, I was sick last week. Oh, I didn't know you were sick. What does James say? If any is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. God has provided a means. Are you using that means? He has given you a gift. He has provided a great gift. When you're on your sick bed, does that cross your mind? Oh, the elders are available. Well, they are. It's a gift that God has given to us. Are we availing ourselves of that gift of God? God has provided prayer through Jesus Christ that is effectual. How effectual is our prayer? Well, James says what? Elijah was a man subject to passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Elijah was a guy just like you and I. That's what he's saying. He's weak. If you don't believe it, read about his reaction to Jezebel. This one woman threatens him, and he runs for his life as far south as he could go, hides in the desert, hides in a cave far away from everyone, and then when God confronts him, he's a wimp. This woman, she's going to kill me. He needed a strong rebuke, which God gave him, and turned him around and sent him back. Elijah was a strong prophet, but he also had feet of clay. And so James says, he's like us. And he prayed. He prayed that it would not rain over a whole country. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. Talk about becoming unpopular in the society. Can you imagine that? Yes, Lord, please cause the stock market to crash and that everybody lose their houses, their bank accounts, and everything that they own. And the Lord says, sure, no problem. And it happens. Talk about being unpopular in society. And everybody knowing that you did it. The president, the king, knows that it was your fault. Because you just went in and told them, by the way, I'm going to pray that we have a total economic collapse in the society. And you walk out. And the next thing happens. It happens. Elijah prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And again, it says, he prayed after the 3.5 years, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Here's an example that James gives us of a man who prays. The effectiveness of God in answer to prayer. I hate the term the power of prayer, personally. It's prayer that's not the power. It's God who's the power who answers prayer. And God does that in Elijah. He answers the prayer of Elijah. Why does James bring this story up? He exhorts us so we can pray in a similar manner. So my third point, with privilege comes responsibility. What is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to pray. How is your prayer life? How is your relationship with God? How much time do you spend with Him each day? Doesn't have to be hours and hours, but is it minutes? Or is it just seconds? What is your relationship with God like? What is your prayer life like? Our prayer life reflects the faith that we hold. We understand God's Word. But notice that James says not only to pray, if any among you afflicted, if any of you going through trials and testings, pray. But also, if any are merry, let them sing psalms. Part of our life is singing. When you're happy, do you, besides clapping your hands, do you sing? What is the songs that come to mind? If you're excited and happy about what God is doing, you're merry, you're joyful, you're cheerful, what songs come to mind when you sing? I remember when I first came to Christ, I was excited, I was happy, and I couldn't sing because I didn't have material to sing. I wanted to sing, and I was struggling to find the right song, what I can sing to express thankfulness to God for what He's done for me. It was so frustrating to do so. What do you sing? What's the content of praise unto God? Well, I would suggest the Psalms to begin with. Louis Benson, an outstanding hymnologist of a previous generation, argues that the Genevan Psalter played a vital role in the spread of the gospel, of the Reformed faith, the Genevan doctrines, as well as it shaped the piety of the Reformed churches. He writes, "The singing of psalms became the Reformed cultus, the characteristic note distinguishing its worship from that of the Roman Catholic Church. Moreover, the familiar use of psalms in worship only emphasized the power of their appeal to the individual experience and made psalmody as much a part of the daily life as of public worship. The family in the home, men and women at their daily tasks, were recognized as Huguenots because they were heard singing psalms. The Psalter became to them the manual of the spiritual life. It ingrained in its characteristics deep in the Huguenot character, had a great part in making it what it was. To the Huguenot, called to fight and suffer for his principles, the habit of psalm singing was a providential preparation. The psalms were his confidence and strength in quiet and solitude, as refuge from oppression. In the wars of religion, they became the songs of the camp and of the march, the inspiration of the battle and the consolation in death, whether on the field or at the martyr stake. It is not possible to conceive of the history of the Reformation in France in such a way that psalm singing should not have had such a great place in it." As a matter of fact, the Huguenots, as they were being taken to the stakes to be burned, would go to the stakes singing, and it annoyed their captors so much that they cut out their tongues so they would shut them up because they didn't want to hear the songs of God as these men and women were sacrificed. The Psalms is a good tool, a good means through which we can express what we're feeling. And we've looked at that through the Psalms, haven't we? Throughout the Psalter, just about every emotion you can think of is expressed somewhere. If you're joyful, there are psalms of praise. If you are depressed or discouraged, there are songs of lament. There's all kinds of, all types of ways of expressing yourself found in the songs. And so James says, if any merry, let him sing psalms. That's not just at church on Sunday. It's part of our life. And then thirdly, making ourselves vulnerable. Calling for the elders of the church. Confessing our sins to one another. And praying for one another. Intercession. This is what was known in the in the Reformation. This was also known during the Revolutionary War. There was an adage in the Revolutionary War when a soldier went off to battle. He said, "Pray for me, for I'm fighting for you. Pray for me, for I'm fighting for you." Are we praying for one another as we fight for one another against our enemy? Remember, as Thomas Watson says, that in Acts chapter 12, when Peter was in prison, the angel was the one who was sent to fetch Peter from prison, but it was the prayer of the saints that fetched the angel to fetch Peter from prison. The Lord answered the prayer of his people and saved Peter from prison. What is the evidence of your faith? James says, the evidence is prayer and singing and humility in availing ourselves of the means of grace, including the use of the elders for us. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Talked about praying, let's do it. Father in heaven, we do come before you. And we do thank you, Lord, that you have done so much for us and that you've also granted us access. That when we do pray, we do not speak to the ceiling or the clouds, but to a person. Through Jesus Christ, our prayers are heard. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would enable us when we're afflicted and we are always in need. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, that you may lift us up, that you may revive us in due time. We pray that you would enable us to be men and women of prayer, using that gift that you have given to us, not burying that talent, but using it to seek your face, to glorify thy name, and to receive from you all that is needed for us for life and godliness. We pray also, Lord, that you would help us to learn your songs, that we may truly have these in our hearts, that when we are joyful and merry, that we would be able, that they would just bubble to the surface, and that we would sing the songs of Zion and give glory to you, that we would sing back to you not only during the worship service, but also in day-to-day life. And Lord, we do pray that you would enable us to avail ourselves of the elders of this church and with one another pray, encourage one another, and bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help us, Lord, not to hide our needs far away, but to be willing to be exposed in that sense and to receive the help that you have for us in times of need. We pray that you would do that work within us as you did in the life of Elijah, that we, though we are weak, yet in you we can be strong and you will be glorified through us. We ask that it would be so in Christ's name. Amen.